The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Happy New Year, everyone. It is another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. We're back kicking off another hopefully great year. Steve, Happy New Year.
Yes, to you, Chip. Yeah, been eventful so far.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the market's flat.
Open. Yeah.
Flat on the first day of the year. That was yesterday.
That's right.
So what does that mean?
That means flat that, for the year.
That has to tell us something,
told you,
right?
I told you. I said up or down. You said up, down, or flat. Uh-huh. So far, you're right.
That's told you. I get it right every year.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it doesn't say anything, of course, as we all know. But we did have some big numbers, though. They say that GDP grew at 5%, I think, for the quarter.
Yeah, that's
Q3 GDP jumps 5%.
That's something we definitely need to talk about, because regardless, I mean, this is something we talk all the time about, is understand the source you're getting the information from,
right?
And understand what their underlying purpose may be for getting that information out. But no matter how you want to spin it, 5% is a very big number for a GDP number.
It's huge. It's the strongest in a decade.
Wow.
Yeah, so
Even if they're manipulating the numbers, they can't fudge them by 5%. So that means we've still got some good positive.
Yeah, I've got to believe that you're right. Yes, the numbers aren't exactly right, but it's almost impossible for them to be. Mm-hmm. But that said, you know, it means we had a very good third quarter.
Right.
The fourth quarter, you know, it's anyone's guess, but I've got to believe that was pretty strong, because we had that the gift of lower oil prices.
I'm really curious to see what those numbers are going to be when they finally get released, because everybody had extra money in their pocket from just not spending as much at the pump.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the numbers here, and the 5% came, personal consumption, which really is, I think, the four. That's, to me, in the third quarter, you had the start of that oil money in your pockets, and personal expenditures were at 2.21%, which was pretty strong. I mean, that's almost half of the 5%. Lower down, you had net exports of goods and services. I mean, all we did was just import less. But right, that's, also a factor of, which is surprising to me, because you're seeing a stronger U.S. dollar. Mm-hmm. And so I would have thought that number could have even been higher, because you think about it, it's cheaper to buy exports or bring it in, right, when you've got a strong currency, and yet it dropped.
But so, but that was from third quarter, and that the dollar getting stronger really accelerated in the fourth quarter, didn't it?
Well, it did. Yeah, but
so that could be a bigger factor into the next report.
Yeah, but I think no matter how you slice it, That's a good solid weight for the third quarter, and I expect some follow through into the fourth quarter. We were joking over lunch where you said that, yeah, that's great. If we have a few good quarters of GDP, the market will probably crater. Right. Of that oxymoron where.
Right. But, well, just based on what's gone on for the last 5-6 years now.
Right.
I mean, there really hasn't been that much good financial data, economic data that has come out. It's
right,
just in the last year really started to show signs that maybe there is some kind of recovery starting to take place. But for the many years before that, there wasn't any information that said, wow, things are looking good. This market should continue to rally.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, and I've got the quarterly GDP numbers. I mean, obviously, 08, 09, you just had red all around the place. I mean, the next best quarters were just over 4%, and we've only had two of those, or three of those, actually, since 2009. Everything else has been, well, there have been a couple of down quarters as well. I mean, we even had one this year. Because remember, it just all got snowed in and, you know, it was just no one was going anywhere.
Right.
But, you know, that is a very, very good quarter. I mean, if you have to go all the way back to 2000 and to 2003 to see quarters that are better than that. And in 2000, they had a 7.8% quarter, which is even hard to even imagine. Huh? That was at the peak of the internet bubble.
Yes.
And then you had 2003, they had a 6.9% quarter, which was huge as well. And that was when we were coming out of that massive slump we had after that.
Right.
But that's the interesting part. We never had, you would expect like a 5% GDP number after the down.
Of 08.
Yeah, of 08. You would expect, here we come roaring back. And yet, you know, 6 years into it, now we have the 5% quarter.
Right.
So I don't know. I think there is some manipulation going on there, but it's still at least that's a really good number. And you have a few more of those. And the exciting part really would be if people start buying into it.
Right.
And then they start believing it. Then you see the consumer stepping up to the plate, because now as soon as people think that they're going to get raises, or they see it's a little bit better, or work stability is a little bit better, there's more jobs around, that consumer confidence just goes skyrocketing. And as you know, they're 70% of the whole economy. So all you need is a little bit of confidence from the consumer and you could see things really start flying.
And then it's like we're at the right time of year for the snowball effect.
Yeah.
essentially where once it gets going, it just starts rolling, 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 and people pile on.
Yeah, then it'll be interesting to see how the Fed handles that.
Right.
But
That would take the Fed off the hook.
Yeah, it would.
If the consumer jumped in.
Then you would start to see, but talk about, you know, raising rates and things like that.
Which would be justifiable at that point. Where right now, them talking about raising rates, I've not seen any information that gives me any reason to believe they should or will raise rates.
Yeah, no, not. I mean, until this number came out, it wasn't probably going to happen for the next 12 months.
Right.
And we'll see. We'll see what they do. I mean, once again, as we've also discussed, rates are essentially zero. So, I mean, a big move would be to raise it to 0.25% or 0.5%. You know, so it's not like
Even if they moved it a whole 1%.
Yeah. You might see the 10-year move to 3.25%. I mean, we're not talking about, yay, now I can throw my money in and make a bunch of return on my savings.
Right. 8% on a CD is not any time in the near future.
No, it doesn't look that way, you know, certainly, unless you see hyperinflation. I mean, if we get a 5% GDP followed by a 7% GDP followed by a 12% GDP, then yes.
Right.
But, I mean, number one, just so our listeners know, this is they're going to revise this number probably again at some point. You know, they put out an estimate and then they revise it. And I'm not certain if this is the final revision or not, but oftentimes there's a couple of revisions. Mm-hmm. So that number could be taken down. But, you know, it's still, we shall see.
Right.
It's a nice way to start the year.
Oh, definitely. It's much more encouraging.
Yeah, much more encouraging. Even though, I mean, and some of the analysts have come out, and they, you know, one of the guys says, a stinky pile of economic manure. You know, just shows you what people think. But I mean, when you compare it to, say, what's going on, you know, in China and Europe and places like that, I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, it's easy to point a finger at the Fed and these types of numbers, but you try and put a number on these types of economic indicators. Right. I mean, it's a $17 or $18 trillion economy, and you're trying to estimate how much it grew over the last quarter.
Right,
I mean, seriously.
So many factors up to make that number.
There's no way the number's right.
Right.
But it's a good one.
Right, and that's one thing.
It's a good wrong number.
We talk about all the time is, don't necessarily trust everything you hear. Like right. The unemployment number we've talked about over and over, it's so far inaccurate that you really can't trust it. But at least it appears to be heading in a direction that looks promising.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to factor in some of the facts that not everyone's being counted.
Right.
And this is the same way, but the reality is it's going in a right direction. They
agreed.
I can't believe that they could manipulate this enough to show 5% growth.
Yep. Well, I think you might get 4.5% or
right.
something, but yeah, you know, these numbers typically don't move by much more than about 0.5% either
right.
direction. So
it is promising. Well, we will continue to debate what we can trust out there.
Yes.
When we come back, you are listening to the Portfolio Doctors. And again, whenever we're talking about anything that maybe triggers a thought or a question in your head, feel free to reach out to us. You can email either of us directly, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. We'll be right back. Thanks.
Keep up with KCBQ hosts and current events. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Look for the icons online at kcbq.com.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
We're kicking off the new year. Steve's over here shivering still. this cold air has been getting to you a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, it's just snow everywhere.
Oh, it was amazing. I unfortunately had to attend a funeral yesterday and had to drive up the 15. And driving through Temecula at 9:30 in the morning, there was snow blanketing everywhere. Literally where you could see where the snow plows had pushed snow off the freeway.
Wow.
I've lived here my whole life in Southern California. I've never seen snow in that area.
So as I say, I'm surprised they had a snow plow.
Yeah. they just strap it to the front of a truck of some kind.
Truck.
And away you go.
There you go. Exactly.
But definitely has been cold. We're supposed to be getting a little warmer, so be more like San Diego in another day or two for you.
Okay. No rain.
Yes. No rain in the forecast that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Well, we talked a little bit. I mean, the reality is yesterday's market activity, totally irrelevant, means nothing. I think the market was essentially flat for the day. It went up significantly to start the day and then dropped and was negative for a while and then finished the day
right.
basically flat.
It was such a low trading day that it, you know, I don't think many people are even in to work yet.
Right. I think most of the big traders on Wall Street and in the bond markets,
right,
they take these long weeks and enjoy their time off.
Well, I took the day off, so that halves the volume on Wall Street right away.
Exactly. So Monday would probably be a better indicator of the reality of what's coming for the new year.
Right, agreed.
So if you're panicked by what happened yesterday, I would say I would say don't worry.
You weren't up 5%.
Yes, that's not an indicator of anything one way or the other. However, if during that big jump to start the day, you were positive and you cashed out, I would say bravo, congratulations, because you maybe timed it pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. New Year's, everyone makes resolutions. Do you believe in resolutions?
I think that really, to me, it's a way to clear the air and maybe just look back at the year gone by and say, you know, if I had done a few things differently or improved on a couple of things, then I would be in slightly better stead. So maybe just, you know, it's a way to cast off some dead wood and look forward and maybe try and say I'm going to do things better next year.
Better or in a different
manner.
So
I think as far as the New Year's resolution goes, I'm not really, if I do make something, it's more of, okay, this year's goals are rather than...
Right, so it's more goal setting.
I'm not going to have a double latte, vanilla, espresso, or whatever the heck they call them, venti, grande, or whatever. I don't know, never go. But, you know, I'm going to cut down to three of those a week from six. I mean, that's to me not really where
it's
at.
So you're still going to have six of those?
I don't even know what those are. I don't know if that even exists. I made it up.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, so I think it's more just for me, and I start around about October or November starting to try and look forward and set goals, and you know, I have to in my business because of all the private companies that I'm involved with, you're trying to set budgets and goals and how are we going to pay for this and marketing and outlook and targets. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, that's really my type of New Year's resolution.
So being proactive versus reactive.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, a lot of people would benefit from that type of thing. You
right.
know, you do have to look back to see where you came from, right? And see right. what you potentially did wrong versus and what you did right, and maybe learn from your mistakes. And then try and say, right, this year coming forward, how can we improve and how can we make things slightly better? And it doesn't have to necessarily be earth-shattering, right? It just has to be something of, you know, if I spent less time procrastinating and more time trying to just get stuff done, mm-hmm. I would have more free time at the end of the day, and I'd have an extra hour a day to do something for myself or with my family or something like that. I mean, that to me is worthwhile.
Right.
But, you know, my New Year's resolution is to, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's sort of a waste of time. I
generally make a resolution not to make any resolutions.
That's right, exactly.
That way I can't break any of them.
Exactly.
I think I do the same thing, where just kind of look at the year that was and see where maybe there were some things that didn't go as you would like them to, and see if there was something that could be done to change that going forward.
That's
so if you encounter a similar situation, that you're, like you said, more efficient, that I'm using my time wisely. I think that there's a lot of sense to that.
Yeah, there's actually a law, Parkinson's law.
Parkinson's law.
Yeah, right. As opposed to Parkinson's disease. This is Parkinson's law. And essentially what the law says is that if you, let's say, allocate 4 to 6 hours of time to a task, then you will spend that 4 to 6 hours doing that task, even if it should only take you 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
So what we end up doing is we end up wasting 3.5 hours and then frantically in the last 30 minutes getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, this Parkinson's law essentially says, if you can scrap all that wasted, eliminated time that's just procrastinating, and it's not easy to do, because if you think about the modern day, you're constantly getting more inputs from texts and emails.
The smartphone is probably the biggest time waster. ever invented to this point.
Yeah. Or if you use it correctly, the biggest time saver. But so if you can somehow be more disciplined, and this could be a really good resolution for people, is to implement this Parkinson's law thing, which is be more disciplined, stop wasting time. I've heard of plenty of top-notch CEOs that the meetings that they have are 15 minutes. Most people in companies, when you say, okay, let's set a meeting, everyone just blocks an hour.
Right.
And for the simple reason that when you go to your Outlook or whatever in your calendar, it automatically schedules an hour for you. So everyone just puts an hour in. And most of the time you go in and you chat about, hey, how was the holidays? And, you know, what did you get done? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, nothing. And then 15 minutes you actually do your business, and then you spend the other 15 or 20 minutes just talking about, you know, nothing again. So some of these CEOs, the meeting is 15 minutes, and they're actually attempting to get the meeting done in shorter than 15 minutes. So essentially everyone who walks in there knows, okay, what's on the agenda? Here it is. Okay, any answers? Da-da-da-da, gone, finished, out of there. No waste of time.
You just brought up something that I have found, and I've read a lot on this, that is a very proven tactic to make meetings not waste time, is to have a written agenda.
Right.
Just having one and having it sit on a desk when people walk in and they see that, it forces you to just look at it and say, oh, we're going to cover this and this and this, and they're expecting that you're going to cover that, and it is proven to force you to follow what that agenda says.
As long as someone's there to corral. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in situations where in meetings where we've had agendas, and within the first 2 minutes, someone brings up some side topic and everyone wanders over there. And I'm just listening away and I go, okay, so that seems like we've answered number 1, 3, and 5. So we don't have to rehash those again. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise you get back there. Oh, now someone brings up some other arbitrary point. So you've got to really make certain, because people have this tendency, if you think about the work day being 8 to 10 hours, people clock in their time card, they clock in, they sit down, and they're really now thinking to themselves, how can I get rid of the next 8 to 10 hours?
Right.
They're not thinking typically about, how can I be most efficient? How can I get the most work done? If you are thinking that way, you probably own the business or you're on some kind of sales commission. Mm-hmm. But everyone else is just going, this is a waste of time, and man, how can I get wasted in, to me, my most least productive, or not least productive, but the easiest on me per se. And if you think about it differently and you go, right, how can I get the most stuff done? And it's a shame that a lot of bosses don't allow that, and a lot of businesses don't allow it, because let's say you own a store and it needs to be open from 10 in the morning till 10 at night. Mm-hmm. You can't necessarily just say, right, work's done, I'm out of here. But there's plenty of other places where you can. And if employers would reward their staff for the tasks done, I tell you what, why? You got it done in 2 hours. Why didn't you go and surf for an hour? Come back, I'll have something else for you to do. I mean, that's, now everyone's happy, right?
Right.
Versus if I work like crazy and I get this done, all I'm going to do is get more stuff lumped on me. And eventually it's like almost the bureaucracy style of thought process. If I do it quickly, I'm going to get more. So why not just do it slower? Then I'll get less and I'm going to get paid the same. But I think if we could all just change that mindset,
Unfortunately, I think it trickles down from the top, because
agreed.
When we see our Congress and our senators working on these things, I guarantee they're not talking about anything that has anything to do with getting a balanced budget or passing the budget or any of these issues that have been the big issues until the last minute. And then they're patting themselves on the back saying, look at us. We're working extra time today to get this done for you.
Yeah.
Like, well, if you'd have addressed this 6 months ago, it wouldn't be an issue. You wouldn't have to be here today.
And also, if you had a bill to pass, let's say a healthcare bill, and if it was just a healthcare bill, instead of shoving in some, well, we'll let you pass this if you allow my cousin to drill oil on this guy's farmland, and I'm going to have a non-fly zone removed down here in Alaska or something. You know what I'm saying? I'm making this stuff up. But it's like they add all of these little pork belly
products.
Yeah. Yep. So now it's really not a debate about just the healthcare bill. It's now a debate about all this arbitrary nonsense.
Correct.
Well, so,
All right.
Parkinson's law.
Parkinson's law. I think we explained it.
Yeah. Hopefully. Just trying to implement it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, stick around. When we come back, we're going to discuss jet engine evolution and how that has impacted the economy, not only our local economies, but our global economies. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need LeadCommerce. LeadCommerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. LeadCommerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of LeadCommerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And just finished talking about Parkinson's Law and how basically that is, if given a certain amount of time, you will procrastinate as much of that time as possible until you know how much time is required to accomplish.
I know so many people that do that.
Oh, everybody's guilty of it from time to time.
Because I've got a friend in Hong Kong, man. He's got like 40 or 50 emails at any one time in his outbox in the draft box. And he just can't finish them. And it'll take him hours and hours, and he goes through them and through them. I mean, wow, talk about time wasted. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear that if it's like a really sensitive email that you have to send off to maybe an attorney or, you know, something's going on that really requires some sensitivity. But in the majority, you've got 90% of what you need to say down within the first 10 minutes. So hours to go back and back and back. Whew.
Right.
Anyway, a lot of people do that.
Yes, I every once in a while we'll see an email in a draft status in mine and not have a clue where it came from. Then go look at it and go, oh, I thought I sent that. And then just literally go in and maybe just have to sign my name or something and hit the send button.
I can't leave my office if there's something in draft.
Well, that's usually it's the same day. Oh. It'll be something where maybe first thing in the morning I saw an email and I did something.
Wow.
And something else popped up that took my attention away, and then notice it hours later, but typically it's not carrying over. Well, the jet engine, you were looking at what, Bloomberg?
Yeah, Bloomberg magazine came out with what they thought were the top inventions or
of all time to date?
Well, over their 85 years of being in existence.
Okay.
And so, and they came up, the number one they decided was the jet engine.
Okay.
It was funny. We were talking about it at lunch, and back in 1931, when the first flight from New York to Los Angeles, and the TWA 1931 transcontinental flight, it was actually a propeller plane, so it's not really okay. The jet engine. They boasted, and the quotes are, crossed the continent in 36 hours.
Wow.
And that included an overnight stay in a hotel in Kansas City. And now you can get there in like five.
Yes.
So it's had a huge impact. I mean, if you take just as an example, if you were to start in Kansas City, Missouri, and walk for 4 hours in any direction, but okay. just go straight.
Sure.
You'll do about 17 miles. If you jump on a horse, you'll get about 44 miles. So I don't even know. Yeah, that's probably outside the borders of Kansas City, 44 miles. I would say you're in the outskirts.
Sure.
If you get in a car, you'll get about 283 miles. Okay, so you're in a couple of states now. If you get on a train, you're a little bit further. You're at about 320 miles. And if you get on a propeller plane, you're about 1,000 miles. So you got from Kansas City pretty much to New York.
Okay.
But
or
if you got
maybe L.A. on the other side? Not quite L.A.
Not quite L.A., actually. You only got as far as Vegas.
Okay.
But if you got on a commercial jet, you've gone 2,100 miles. You've actually left the States. And on this map, it doesn't show you've reached a few other countries. You've definitely passed Mexico, and you've pretty much covered the whole of Canada. Uh-huh. But you're well on your way to London, that's for sure, and to Hong Kong the other direction, or Japan. That type of growth in terms of being able to get places.
That's just 4 hours.
Yeah. As you think about it, back in the good old day with the Model T Ford and putzing around, that was a huge in growth to business and trade, because even though you're putzing around it, I don't know, what did it get, like 15 miles an hour or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
And even then you probably had a speed wobble. But that would be scary to do like 30 in that thing.
Right.
But nowadays you can hop on a plane and literally within a day you can pretty much be anywhere in the globe.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what the impact of that on just not only innovation, but being transferring ideas across from one continent to another and being able to ship stuff. And
incredible. The FedEx business model.
Yeah.
We'll get it there overnight.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Good luck with that in the good old days. 36 hours. You couldn't make it.
Right. They embrace. But think about that. If you would have been flying packages across the country.
Yep.
They were getting there days and days ahead of time because the Pony Express wasn't coming from New York to California in less than 36 hours.
And the Model T, boy, that would have been a bumpy ride. I don't even think your kidneys could have handled that one. But yeah, so the impact on global business is just amazing. I mean, these are the types of innovations that make such a difference. And, we've had a lot of problems in the airlines recently with, especially in Asia, where they just seem to be dropping out of the air like flies. But they did an analysis of the U.S. transportation fatalities by mode. Now, admittedly, this doesn't include Asia and all those other places. This is just within the United States. And the deaths on the highway in 2012 were 33,000 people died on the highway. The deaths by rail were 557, which I'm quite shocked at. That's quite a lot of people.
Wow.
A lot of people must be jumping in front of a train or something. I don't know. And in the air, it was only 447, which still seems quite high to me.
Mm-hmm.
But, compared to 33,000.
Well, I think there's a lot of smaller planes.
Yeah, they are.
Obscure. I mean, we just heard of one where that little 7-year-old girl walked away from it, but everyone else that was on board was killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think there's little ones like that happen sporadically throughout most years.
Yeah. So, those types of innovations, the jet engine, the one funny thing to me is that with that being the number one innovation, right, you would think that the airline companies would be making money hand over fist. Mm-hmm. And I must admit, the last few quarters they have, mainly because the price of gasoline has dropped so much. I mean, they literally are printing money, those airlines now. But overall, over like the last 60 years, if you take the profits and the losses of all the airlines and add them together, you essentially get zero.
Right.
So it's just one of the worst businesses possible.
Even the most profitable airline, they run on a really thin margin.
Yeah.
There is not a lot of profit being made by these businesses. It's just not a business that has room for that.
Think about it. You've got to pay the hubs, right? You've got to pay the... Every time you land, you got to pay that terminal. You got to pay the your flight people. You got to pay the ticket counter people. You got to pay the internet company that sold your tickets online. On and on and on and on it goes. And at the end, you squeak out this minuscule profit with all of that investment in airplanes and aircraft. Mm-hmm. And no, if you're thinking of starting a business, don't start an airline.
That could be the best advice you've given.
Novel way. I mean, seriously, if you think about it just from a business standpoint, you think Southwest really found a novel way to do things. They say, we're not going to do the hub. We're just going to fly straight there and back, mm-hmm. right? We're not going to have a hub system. And they've been pretty much, they shook up the industry that way. So unless you've got some kind of a novel idea as to how to make this work better and save money, I just don't see it as the way to go.
Right.
You know, but people try it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, one of Southwest also was just kind of creating the cattle car mentality of just no assigned seatings. You get on, you pick your seat, you sit down.
Everyone gets mad with you when you come on and you're late and all there are middle seats. They all look at you like, don't take this one. Don't take this one. you've got to sit somewhere. Sorry. You know? But maybe that's the answer to keys to success. You just don't have middle seats. You just have 2-2-2 or 2-2-2-2.
Be a lot more comfortable people, but...
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe everyone will want to fly there. But the only reason we bring this up, and it might sound like a bit of nonsense to the listeners, but it's not really. It's the way to try and work out what things are affecting business. When you're looking at a business, don't get sucked in and just go, wow, it would be great if I had my own airline. I could fly anywhere in the world. Instead of dropping $10 million into that or $100 million into that, just fly anywhere in the world on someone else's airline.
Right.
I mean, sometimes the wheel's already being created, and you don't have to create a new wheel all the time, but you do have to be able to make some kind of an improvement to that wheel. And if you can't, then it's not a good business idea. We've talked about this repeatedly with the Porter model, where you have to differentiate or be the cheapest person out there. Those are your two options. If you're not the cheapest or you've got something new, you're going to fail.
Right.
You know, and you can differentiate. It's not that hard to differentiate, right? You might be a lot better. You take jewelry as an example. You know, you get people that have got, little beads they sell off the bead carts. They're the lowest end. And then you get Tiffany's, who aren't selling a heck of a lot different, but they've got a brand that is like, we are the best of the best.
Right.
And as long as that brand can stay in place, they can charge a heck of a lot more for their diamond versus someone else's diamond. Admittedly, I'm sure the quality is outstanding, but it has to be. So their differentiator is, look, we are the best. And they're not worried about price. Everyone else is fighting on price.
Right.
So that's a more crowded market. So you either have to differentiate your business or be the price, cheapest price. But anything in between, it's what's called sitting on the fence, and you're just not going to make it.
Tough to make that work.
Yeah. When you think of Apple, they differentiated themselves, they're not the cheapest.
Nope.
And they keep claiming they're the best. And so far, it's working for them.
Right. At least for the right demographics.
Yeah.
So, well, stick around. When we come back, we will continue talking about how the jet engine has impacted the globe in many ways. You listen to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ 1170.
Download your free KCBQ smartphone app. Search KCBQ. Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, San Diego.
And online at kcbq.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And we're welcoming in the new year, discussing some different topics, trying to tie them all together to our general theme of trying to help everyone that listens to make the best decisions they can for themselves, because you ultimately are the person that is going to make typically the best decision for yourself, because you know what is most important to you. And if you don't, this could be a good time. We talked about resolutions a little earlier, to sit down and really think that through. See if you truly know what's most important to you, and outline that, and that could give you some clarity as the year goes on how you make some decisions and to best try to accomplish those important things in your life.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very, very good point. And certainly if you need any help with that, just give us a call, because I mean, that's what you specialize in, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sort people out left and right. I don't. I just make their money.
There you go.
But, yeah, I mean, we were talking earlier about the jet engine, and just to go back to that a little bit, in terms of planning, I mean, the impact of that is, as well, is to make the world a very small place. So if you're right, trying to make a decision these days and you're trying to look very insular, like, within your neighborhood, as to that's my life and that's what's going to impact me. I mean, you really, that's the reason for listening to the show, is you have to understand that with things like the jet engine, making the world accessible in one day, that means all of that baggage, garbage, whatever it is, problems, benefits, ups and downs from everywhere, every corner of the globe is exported to your front door.
Right.
Whether you like it or not.
And we've talked about this in another form, in that in the traditional asset allocation model, when it comes to investing, people will typically have a certain percentage allocated domestically, which is wherever you live, mm-hmm. and another allocation internationally somewhere. And we've discussed whether or not there's even a need for that any longer.
Right.
Because the reality is every big company is a global company. It's an international company now. So you're getting exposure by buying the domestic companies. Apple is not just a U.S. company. Coca-Cola is not a U.S. company. McDonald's is not a U.S. company. So when you're buying any piece of these in a mutual fund, an ETF, or owning the stock directly, you're getting international exposure based on their business being distributed throughout the world.
Well, it's even, yeah, I agree with that, but it goes even beyond that as far as I'm concerned. I mean, take, for example, Japan's economy. It's really hurting.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the best they can to just devalue the yen as fast as possible, right? So if you happen to be going out to buy a car next week, you know, I'm pretty certain, and I haven't done a look at it, but the Japanese cars have got to be, for what you're buying, way cheaper than what you're getting in an American or a European car. It just has to be because of the yen's so cheap, mm-hmm. right? So those types of things will impact you locally. You know, with all of the price of oil dropping, that's a global commodity. You're not in a horse and cart anymore. So that's impacting you. I mean, these types of things all have an impact on you personally in your neighborhood because of what's going on internationally. And so you need to be able to have at least a basic understanding of how these inputs go. I mean, seriously, if you are going out to buy a car and you haven't gone to the Toyota dealership or the Mazda dealership or any of those Japanese dealerships, maybe because you don't want to.
Right.
But if you want to save money, it might be a place to look. And if you're pro-American, which I'm sure most of our listeners are, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the question you have to ask yourself is, this Honda or this Toyota that I'm buying, Toyota in particular, it's cheaper. Is it really Japanese? Because right. more Toyota pieces of Toyota are assembled and made in America than Fords,
right?
Which are mostly assembled in Mexico and the parts are made in China for Ford. So you really have to start digging below the surface nowadays. Yes, it's not an American brand, but it's possibly more of an American car.
Right.
And so I don't know. I don't know the answers anymore in terms of that. And it's really hard to put a patriotic stamp on things anymore. I mean, some of the things are easier than others, but certainly in the car or the automobile world, it's really hard to say which is the more American automobile.
Right, and there's so many layers there. People say, well, it doesn't matter if they build them here in the United States because it's a foreign company.
Yeah, and the profits flow back. But if Toyota's employing double the people in America than a Ford is, then I'm sorry, it's more American.
That's exactly where I was going with it, because I did that research when I bought a truck to see which truck was made where. And the reality was that Toyota truck is much more American than the Ford or the GM product.
Right. So
by a big margin.
Yeah. And I'm not saying all things are that way.
Right.
But I mean, you even look at an Apple phone. Which to me is like the American icon, Apple. And I'm sure tons, I haven't done the research on this, but tons of the parts I'm sure are made elsewhere and assembled probably elsewhere, and the phones come in on containers and here we are, it's back to being American again. But you very seldom, if ever these days, find something that's stamped made in America.
Right.
And sometimes even if it is stamped made in America, it's not completely made in America. They're trying to fudge the lines. I mean, to me, something made in America is homegrown, home assembled, woven, and then put on the shelves on the store. And these days, it if you're a large manufacturer, it just doesn't make sense to do that. You want to outsource to where it's the cheapest. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying even America's more expensive anymore, because they're not. The efficiencies that we're seeing in America manufacturing, the amount of stuff, in other words, they can produce per worker. Sure, that worker might be getting $50 an hour versus $1 a day in Bangladesh or wherever, but they're producing more than 1,000 times what that other person's producing because of all the efficiencies. And then you don't have to put it on a ship. You don't have to get it over here. You don't have in the carbon footprint and all of this type of stuff. So there's a lot of benefit nowadays. And a lot of the manufacturing positions that left America are coming back. The problem is that those aren't really creating jobs because they're so technical in nature that the good old days of
it just takes one person to run a machine and the machine.
Yeah. But
produces.
You need to know how to run the machine, right? And if it breaks, but more importantly than that, if it breaks down, you need to know how to try and fix this thing, right? And so that just grab a hammer and a nail and you've got a job is gone.
Right, those days are mostly.
Yeah, so if you're looking for those types of jobs, you really still need to get skilled.
Yeah, that even though there's been a huge push in the electronics area of technology, technological type jobs and training, I'm still, I've got two young children, and I'm going to encourage them to, if they're interested, follow that path, because that's such a growing industry still for probably, who knows, another 50, 100 years, maybe forever?
Maybe.
Hard
until someone develops something else, and it's hard to imagine, but then we didn't have chips back then in the beginning. So
yeah, we're using the
chips. Well, you did, I didn't.
We're using the chips now to create new chips. So
that's right.
By then, the new chips will be creating new chips, and
yeah,
it's just
that's beyond me.
So
I gave up now.
It's hard to pay attention.
Once you cross over 50, you don't have to worry anymore.
That's right. It's all downhill.
Yeah.
Well, again, as we're talking, a big part of the of each show is built up by questions we've received from listeners. So we welcome any and all questions. No question too big, no question too small. We will answer them to the best of our ability. If we don't know the answer, we'll do our best to find the answer to be able to help point you in the right direction. And again, you can reach out to us via email. Best way, probably email Steve directly, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com, or myself, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. You can also catch our old shows, all archived and available podcasts on iTunes. Just search for The Portfolio Doctors. Thank you again for listening. Happy New Year, everyone, and we will talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ in San Diego. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, please call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on The Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on KCBQ is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ.
KCBQ has teamed up with trustworthy businesses in your area to bring you the Honey-Do List. One click connects you with KCBQ experts for pest control.